We all know that churches embraced live streaming mainly because of the pandemic, and now that the pandemic is over, some have stopped or are considering stopping. We're going to discuss one church's decision on this and what your church should consider when it comes to streaming video next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, and this is episode number 423, and my name is Phil Thompson.
And I'm Steve Lacy.
All right, I got the episode out there, and I want to say a couple things before we talk about an interesting topic. But I would like to remind people that we have a webinar coming up April 16th, and it is about, what's this webinar about? Oh, it's about the Ten Commandments, right?
It's about streaming. But the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, we combined them both. It's the best of both worlds. It's the Ten Commandments and streaming video.
Yes.
And so you'll have to tune in to find out what that fiasco is all about. Just in all seriousness, we're going to talk about 10 things, maybe more, that are very important to streaming video, and it would really behoove you to
go ahead. This is our top 10.
It's our top 10.
I like
top 10 things. Yeah, it's our top 10 list. Yeah, we can do a Letterman thing here, but I think that it's an important webinar, and I think a lot of these things are overlooked by people, even seasoned streamers. And so we've talked about our top 10 commandments, and we're going to talk about it April 16th. It's a webinar. It's 12 noon Eastern. How do people find it? How can people sign up for this webinar, Steve?
If they go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv,
yeah, they can sign up.
You can sign up there.
It's free. We'll have a Q&A, which is always good. Talk a little bit about some things. So I think everybody will like it. It's free. And as I said, it's really some important stuff. So I think you'll enjoy it. And so there you go. All right. So let's move on here. Let's talk about our topic today. So I'll set things up here. I actually posted something on our blog. If people go to blog.streamingchurch.tv, you can keep score at home. But there was a church this past week that made an announcement, and they're a fairly large church, a very popular church in Portland called Bridgetown Church. And Bridgetown Church is pastored by Tyler Statton. And, you know, it's a church. It's got, I don't know how many, look, I'm out of it. I don't know all these mega churches and these cool churches that have been popping up over the last number of years. Yeah. I don't know who they are.
We'd consider it a mega church, I assume, right?
Yeah.
I've visited their website.
Have
yeah.
You?
Yeah. I did visit their website, but I didn't, it doesn't say mega church on the website.
No, they don't usually say that. They don't like to say mega church. And that's good. I mean, good for them. They're reaching people. They're, you know, this sounds like a great pastor. And so they are a large church. And so they made an announcement saying that this is March 19th when we're recording this. But they said, hey, March 24th is our last live stream. We're not going to stream anymore. We're not going to go live streaming anymore after March 24th. So so that was the idea. So that's a big change for people. And I thought we would talk a little bit about that decision they made. And there's other people talking about it as well.
Yeah, exactly. So we were talking before we started recording why that may be a good decision for them. And we're going to talk about just kind of broader stuff, I think, right? Not specifically their case, right?
No, we're not going to. But let me just kind of chime in a little bit, because this guy, their senior leader, Tyler Statton, wrote a book, and I don't remember the title now. But it was a book that talked about, you know, slowing down, disconnecting from the tech devices, you know, just really keeping your mind on your pace of life, and just slowing down and disconnecting. Would you say, from what you've heard about that, would you say that's a fairly accurate?
Yeah, that's fairly accurate. And I can really resonate with, I still have a pet peeve is when you have family around and people pick up their phones and start looking at their phones. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, you're all
So
sitting around the table and everybody's staring at
yeah.
their phone. Yeah,
And so
I.
there's a skill that my mother-in-law was just a pro at. And she was really good at talking with all kinds of different people. And I think it's because, I mean, it's because, you know, back in the day, prior to cell phones, you know, all of what, less than 20 years ago, there'd be a lull in the conversation and people would stop talking. And you exercise your brain a little bit and you go, let's ask Jerry about his recent da-da-da-da, you know?
Right.
And so all those moments are gone now because people check out and go, then, you know, if two people checked out in our group of six, and well, that means the other people are going to start checking. They go, well, I better check my phone and see what's going on my phone. I don't
Yeah.
know. It drives me crazy. So,
Well,
yes,
yeah.
I would be a big fan of having some time to disconnect from technology and live life more simply.
Yeah. Well, and I can remember snapping a picture years ago at my church. We had gone through rehearsal or something, music rehearsal, and everybody's sitting on the back row. There was like 8 or 9 people in the back row. And I just happened to snap a picture because every single one of them was staring at their phones. They were sitting in the back row, getting ready for the service to begin, you know, is it just kind of a down, everybody's looking at their phones. And I posted it on Facebook and everybody laughed about it. But yeah, so it's very common. It
And then lost
is.
the skill. My mother-in-law, like I said, was just really good at talking with just about anything to anybody.
Yeah.
She was a pro.
Yeah. Hold on a second. I'm checking my Facebook here. Hold on a second. All right. So I'm being funny. All right. So, and look, I can understand that. I can relate to what they're saying too, right? And look, I come from, you know, I'm no spring chicken. Everybody knows that by now. I came out of the 70s Jesus movement, and I was in the shepherding movement, and we were real big in the community and real big into authenticity before we used that word authenticity. And we wanted to be, you know, the old thing, keeping it real. Well, we were very real, and people would show up. People would knock on my door anytime, day and night, literally, and they would just show up, you know, and we'd sit down and, you know, have coffee or something. And I remember even we would go around witnessing on different streets. I lived on in an area of downtown Tucson, Fourth Avenue, and back then you'd knock on somebody's door, and sometimes people would just open up and let you in. You would just sit down and talk, and we would talk about God and all that stuff. And so, you know, there is a part of me that kind of longs for those good old days, right? I mean, you know, yeah, you know, is everybody was, you know, and but the past is the past, you know, it's gone. The future's not here yet. All we have is right now, this moment. So I have tried very hard the last few years, especially, to stop living in the past, you know, it's fun to think about it, but it's not really, you know, it's no longer. I mean, you can learn from the past and all that, but I'm not there anymore, you know. And so we've got to move on with things. So I can relate, honestly, to some of this stuff that's like, hey, we're sick of this. You know, we've got all this stuff happening, all this digital ministry. We just need to disconnect. So having said all that, Bridgetown Church is very unique though, because they have a large number of people. And the closest I'm going on here, but I'll finish up here in a second. I think when I first came to Tucson, there was a church called Grace Chapel here that had over 1,000 people, and just stuff happened, you know, and it just was organic, I guess. You know, this was in the 70s, you know, we didn't have email or and all that stuff or social media. It just happened. And even with Calvary Chapel, in the early 90s, 80s, 80s, I think, and late 80s and early, it was pretty organic too. A lot of growth. Without social media, without streaming video.
So we're going to go over some of the things that Bridgetown's going to be missing out on. So, you know, post their decision, right?
Yeah, and so I respect their
And
decision.
what?
And everybody that I've read so far says the same thing. Hey, I respect your decision, but it's not for everybody. And so I guess that's kind of what I'm getting at here is your church needs to make a decision on what they're going to do if they're going to keep streaming. But be careful that you don't just jump off and stop. There's some things you want to consider.
Yes, like what?
Well, the bottom line is people are still looking for church, and so if they're going to look for churches, they're going to go to your website and then they're going to look at video. And Bridgetown does have an answer to that, but live streaming video does communicate something to people saying, hey, they've got stuff going on here. Let's take a look. Is this a good fit? Is it something that would be good for my family? And so it creates windows, into your church that otherwise people wouldn't see.
And as I mentioned many times, it is a very low barrier to entry window. So joining a live stream is costs me very little. I don't need to get dressed. I don't need to get in the car. Or I don't need to commit to, 2 or 3 hours of my day. That's, and people appreciate that. So they
They
can
do.
find your church.
They do. And part of Tyler Statton's idea with this is that he wants people to come together and have community. He wants them to meet. And so one of the things he did say in his announcement to his Bridgeton Church people was, hey, we're stopping to do this, but we want you to come and be a part of the local gathering. So if you're not, if you don't come to our church, then please find a church or find a community of believers that you can connect with and be a part of face to face. My argument about that is, I think he's right, okay? But my point is, you can still have community even online.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of people, I mean, you just raise that barrier up to experience your church. 'Cause now it's, okay, I got to get out of bed, I got to get dressed, I'm going to miss the football game. I got to get the kids all rounded up, and then, I got to go find out, I run the risk of, wow, this place could be a disaster for me, or it could be a good fit for me. So it's just taken away an opportunity that is out there that I watched a program on I probably won't talk about that.
Okay.
Well, it was the Amish have addressed
Be careful, these Amish people might get really upset when they
yes.
watch this podcast.
When they watch this podcast and they watch the live stream on YouTube, huh, on their television sets. It's kind of funny. A story just ran this morning of they had a big community event where they raise money for the Amish, and they bring together all this stuff. And it just popped into my head, about kind of stopping the technology train and going a certain way. So, I mean, this isn't going Amish for this group, but it is kind of a somewhat of a parallel.
Yeah. Well, here's five things that I put in the blog. Again, if you want to look at it, it's blog.streamingchurch.tv. That's the website. But there's five things that why stopping your stream might not be a great decision for your church. And the first one was, you can reach a wider audience by live streaming. You do have people that are homebound, that are sick. There are people that even geographically unable to connect to your church, and there's even people say, well, there's a church on every corner in the United States, and that's kind of true, but it may not be the best church for you. I was pastoring in Kansas for a while, and there was churches all over the place, but they weren't always a good fit for people, and so having a live stream that you can connect with would be a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Reach that wider audience. And plus, it's just convenient. And that's people value convenience today.
Well, they do. And then, of course, the second point is why it's maybe not a good idea to stop streaming. Would you know, when you stream live, it spreads the message. It spreads the message that your church, you're opening the doors of your church, virtually. And people are curious. They're curious about faith. They may not be able to commit to a regular attendance, but they are interested. They're interested in spiritual things. And so this live streaming can certainly be a gateway drug. It's not a drug, but a
Very true.
gateway for them to eventually join a physical congregation. And we're always, if everybody, if you've listened to this podcast, you know that it's brought to you by streamingchurch.tv. So we are streaming. We are biased in that area, but we're biased because we think it does help and helps people connect. And as you've said before, at your church, which used to be my church, in membership classes, the majority of the people found the church and decided to show up in person by watching the live streaming.
Yeah, they decided to show up, and then not only show up, they were, committed to membership. We have a process at our church where you go through a membership class. So they were taking that next step, and majority of them were attending online at first.
Yeah, absolutely. So you reach a wider community when you stream live. You never know who's watching. My dad, when I was in radio, started off in broadcasting. My dad was kind of impressed by the fact that I was on the radio, and he goes, "Yeah, you never know who could hear you. Never know who's." And he was even taking it further. He goes, "That goes out there in space. You never know who might be hearing it out in space." I'm like, "Okay, Dad, that's not really probably true. Well, maybe it is. I don't know." So anyhow, you reach a wider community. You can spread your message. And by the way, hopefully your church has a message that's unique, based on your leadership, based on your people. I think churches have you can have very unique messages. And not I've always said this, not every church is for everybody. There's certain churches that you connect with, certain ones you don't. And the message that I first started hearing back in Youngstown, Ohio, at Pleasant Valley Evangelical Church was Dr. Len Evans. It was the love message. And you might say, well, love, what's the big deal about that? But that was a huge emphasis in everything he did. And I really connected with that. And other churches I didn't connect with. So you've got a message, and you can spread that message with live streaming.
Yeah, good point. And
Go ahead.
next on your list here is Foster's Connection.
Well, it does. You got to start somewhere, and everybody's online today, and whether you like it or not, and so people can interact while they watch the live stream. They can interact in lots of different ways, and so it creates an opportunity to connect with people. And I have connected with people online that were thousands of miles away. We had a guy that used to be our church online host, right? Who was in Ohio, the Ohio, Pennsylvania area. And I got to know him and his family really well. Never met them face to face, never met them in the flesh, but chatted with them online and even did small groups online. So it does foster connection. You can have real relationship, as real as if you're in person. You can be in person with people and they can still not be honest and truthful with you. And yeah, that can be the case online as well, right? But it doesn't make any difference. You can be real and authentic online as well as in person.
Yeah, my wife is a big Instagram person, so she'll be talking, well, Julie said this about this, and I'm like, Julie, who's Julie? Oh, it's one of my Instagram friends. So
There you go.
how long have you known her? Oh, we've been chatting for 6 months now, and she's really cool because she's got, or whatever, and
Right.
it's a complete online relationship
Yeah.
where you can gain trust and share an experience online with the church. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
It does happen. It is real. Number four, it enhances accessibility. So again, live streaming, it can be a really valuable tool for those who might be hard of hearing, maybe even visually impaired. There's closed captioning available in some places. There's transcripts that can be available, and it can really make the service inclusive to everybody. I am, again, I hate to beat the drum about how old I am, but there are things that are not going well right now for me. I don't see as good as I used to. I don't hear as good as I used to. It's actually starting to become a concern for me. And we have closed captioning on when we watch a TV show. We both, my wife and I both, many times, not all the time, but many times we'll have closed captioning on.
Yeah. My mother-in-law, I was praising earlier. It was kind of humorous sometimes because she, after her husband passed away, she lived alone, and we'd go, visit, and we'd walk in, and the TV is just blaring, because she didn't quite hear, as well, and so it made it really easy for her to, be able to hear, because you can turn it up. You can't yell at the pastor, turn it up.
Oh, I remember those days. My dad was hard of hearing. He worked in coal mines and ran steam shovels, and didn't have very good hearing. And I can remember those days walking in the room and the TV's blasting.
Steam
And
shovels,
yep, he ran steam shovels.
1800s.
No, this was probably the 1930s.
Oh, wow.
1930s steam shovels that he had a they have these steam shovels. They've been around 1930s, probably early 1940s, I guess, until they some of them became diesel, I guess, whatever. Oh yeah,
Wow.
it's well, my dad was born in 1907,
Oh, all right.
so that explains it. Your dad was too, wasn't he? Wasn't he
Yeah,
born?
he's a little younger, 6 years younger than
Yeah,
your.
yeah. So yeah, so it really does enhance the accessibility that people can have, and it can make a difference. Number five, you can archive your live streaming and your live events. So when you live stream, you can archive those things if you want to. You can upload them to your church's website or social media channels. And they, again, are a very valuable resource for people who want to revisit, maybe, or maybe hear for the first time a teaching, a sermon, or a special event. And I do want to again pop in here and mention that Bridgetown Church in Portland is doing that. They are making their messages available to people. So they've stopped live streaming, but they do make it available. So it's not like they're not throwing everything out. But I understand why they did it. But I think when you make a decision, I think every church needs to really consider it and the leadership teams to talk about it. But I think, Bridgetown is very much a different situation than what most churches in America are under 200 people, I think. And you want to reach people, right? And if you don't want to reach people, then I guess who cares? But I think that that's part of the gospel, right? Is sharing God's love with people and wanting to reach people, help people find community. And it can be done through live streaming. It can open a door for that.
Yeah, it's just it's another tool that is available to help grow your ministry and have your ministry have an impact in the community.
And we've talked about hybrid. And just for people, like, what do you mean by hybrid? Well, hybrid is you have live streaming, but you also have, events gathering at your facility, and you can do both. Jason Moore, again, we've had him on here before, did a webinar with him, had him on the podcast. He's written a book about that and how you can really enhance both of these things. You can enhance your live streaming where people can connect and have relationship, but you can also enhance what's happening at your facility at the same time.
Yeah, these are all just some tools that are available to help you do ministry. So
Yeah, just like the
yeah,
whole
so
AI thing. The
yeah,
whole thing,
it's just
it's a tool.
yeah,
Yeah,
it's a
it's
tool. So you have this toolbox with all these tools, and I guess it's up to each ministry to figure out what's going to be, best for them. So.
yeah. And again, no judgment here on people that make a different decision. We understand what you're saying. We understand that you have different needs and feel like you're going a different direction, but we do think there's a lot of value in live streaming and using technology. So anyhow, that's it. That's all I had to say.
All right, sounds good.
And we always would like to hear people's feedback on this topic or anything else. You can just go to streamingchurch.tv, chat with us there. If we're not live, if it's after business hours, you can still use the chat box and put some things in it. We'll get it. It'll send us emails and we'll respond. We'd love to hear your feedback on this topic and other topics as well. And be sure and check out our resource page. Just go to streamingchurch/resources. And you can see some of the things that we've got for ministry tools, as we just mentioned, and other things as well. So there you have it. All right. We're done, Steve.
All right, sounds
Oh,
great.
how long did we go? We went more than 10 minutes, didn't we?
Right on time.
All right. Well, good deal. See, I was right again. All right. Folks, thank you for spending some time with us. Speaking of time, we do appreciate it. And be sure and tell your friends, sign up and subscribe to the Church Solutions Podcast wherever you get your podcast. He's Steve Lacy. I'm Phil Thompson. We'll catch you again next time on another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast.